The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Yes, a strange world we find ourselves in on this first day of Nisan. You know, new regulations came into effect last night in Israel. The Prime Minister threatened on TV that if Israelis don't adhere to these provisions, but perhaps more importantly, if he doesn't see a change to the trend that we're seeing of infection of the virus being diagnosed in new cases, and in particular looking at those people who are in serious condition and also unfortunately those people who have died, then he might be forced, or he's threatened that he will be forced, to implement a full lockdown. So we've kind of been doing this in stages. We've moved from a situation where people could go out, but you couldn't really go to work, to a situation now where the most that you can go outdoors is 100 meters from your home, and much more stringent restrictions being placed all the way around. And he's saying that that could move to an even fuller lockdown in the future, where I expect he'll probably ban all but the most urgent people from going to work, and that we won't be able to go to the supermarkets, but rather we'll be forced to have people coming to deliver to us, which is what most people are doing anyway. So, yeah, I mean, there was this incredible collage of photographs taken from around Tel Aviv that was sent out on social media, and perhaps you've had a chance to see it. But it just shows the streets of Tel Aviv absolutely uninhabited, dead, no movement, no people around. It kind of doesn't feel like the same place, because even though the locations were all recognizable and we knew exactly where each of the pictures were taken, we couldn't kind of feel the place. It didn't look like the same place because, of course, Tel Aviv and, in fact, Israel in general is more about the people than about the places. And so we're kind of certainly feeling it. I suppose there's a word that the soldiers like to use about Sunday mornings when they have to go to the base, and it's called shavuz. Shavuz is that kind of Sunday morning feeling when, you know, you're not in the mood to start your day. I guess the Monday morning blues is the closest thing that I can think of in English. And there is certainly a feeling of shavuz at the moment where people are not really following routines. I mean, it's Rosh Chodesh and people aren't able to go and do the usual halal together with the minyan. And so we're kind of losing our routine in a sense. But people are staying as optimistic as possible. And it was noticeable that President Ruvi Rivlin also came onto TV last night to encourage people to keep to the rules, to talk a little bit about some of the political things that have been going on, and to encourage people around that point. But Prime Minister Netanyahu has termed a new phrase, and his new phrase is stay at home, stay alive. That's what he's saying. Stay at home, stay alive. You know, so that's really the strong message that's going out now, that really the best thing to do is simply to stay at home. That's kind of option number one that people should be implementing. And that every other option is only in the event that it's unavoidable. And so unfortunately the numbers continue to rise in terms of those who've been infected by COVID-19. 2,000, almost 2,400 Israelis now with the disease, with the virus. Five people so far have been confirmed as having died of COVID-19. There are approximately 40 people who are considered to be in serious condition, people who are being ventilated in hospital. More than 1,000 of those who have been diagnosed are actually being treated at home. They're just recovering from the virus at home. And there's more than 2,000 people really who are considered to be likely infected with the virus. So, you know, nothing serious about them. It's kind of flu-y symptoms, something that we hope that they will easily recover from. Of course, there's been a lot of focus around equipment, and particularly about ventilators. And the message that we're getting from around the world is ventilators are the difference between life and death. And certainly in Italy, we've seen that. And so there's been a stock count of ventilators to see how many there are in Israel. I'm told that we have something like 2,000 ventilators around Israel, which means that we would need to get to a situation where 2,000 people are seriously ill and in need of ventilation in order for that to be exhausted and to be threatened. Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday said that he could easily see a situation where that would be, where that would arise, where it would be that many people.
Well, I guess the question is how many would are in use without COVID? I guess is the question. I mean, or is it 2,000 available ventilators?
Well, I'm not quite sure whether there are 2,000 that are currently available over and above those that are being used, or whether it's 2,000 that are including those that are being used. But obviously there is a limited number of ventilators available. And I know that the head of the Shabak has been tasked with putting together a force of people, including members of the defense ministry, to go out and acquire equipment almost at any price. Now, obviously, ventilators are not something that you're going to just be able to buy off the back of a truck today, because they are in such demand. We know, for example, that Italy is desperately, desperately short of ventilators. We know that the United States also has done a stock count of its ventilators, and there is consideration that they are also short of ventilators. We know that a lot of equipment is in China at the moment, and even though the Chinese economy is getting back to some sort of level of operation, but there is a lot of stock that's stuck in China that's not being distributed around the world due to the fact that distribution channels have been interrupted. So overall, there is this massive shortage of equipment and a huge effort going on at the moment in order to try to make up what is considered to be a possible shortage, particularly of ventilators. I actually saw somewhere that they've devised a way to use these kind of manual ventilator machines that are used in like ambulances and things like that, which are not considered to be fit for purpose, but they've devised a way to attach something to them that they could potentially be used as a ventilator in the event that things get very, very urgent and serious and we run out of equipment. So ventilators are all the rage at the moment. And of course, face masks, there is a lot of discussion about whether face masks are really useful or not useful. I'm not going to enter into that discussion, but I know that there's been a huge shortage. A lot of people here are wearing face masks. A lot of people are wearing gloves. It's important, if you do wear gloves, to wear them sensibly. Don't wear them instead of your hands, and then use the gloves to infect everything instead of just doing it with your hands. So it's important to be sensible about how you use those gloves. But overall, you know, clearly the focus right now is all about the number of people who have been infected and how to somehow slow down the rate of infection. Yesterday, for example, there were something like 400 additional cases that were diagnosed. What's happening is that because there is a huge increase in the number of tests that are being conducted, now exceeding 5,000 tests a day, obviously we're getting more and more diagnoses. Unfortunately, the percentage of diagnoses, positive diagnoses for corona, is actually going up as a percentage of the total number of tests that are being done. So what we're finding is that more and more tests are being done on people who are actually positive for the corona, for COVID-19 virus. What's happening is that really people who are not showing symptoms at the moment are being denied the ability to have tests, because obviously there's a shortage of personnel and a shortage of the number of tests available. So they're trying to focus all of that to try and, you know, make it as effective as possible. So really that's where things stand right now. The streets are empty. Things are very, very dull, very, very quiet, a weird sort of quietness that's going on. Finally, the chief rabbis decreed that there should be no meetings in shuls for minyanim. Ironically, it was the Minister of Health, Yaakov Litzman, who was the one who decided that he didn't want that restriction to be in place. He was overruled at the cabinet and was forced to concede that people should now definitely, under a decree from the chief rabbis, not meet to daven, not meet for a minyan. But obviously people are making alternative plans to the best of their ability.
Yeah, very, very frightening. I spoke to my son last night, and I asked him, because there was a lot of talk as well about this, rather giving people rations than allowing them to go and buy food. And he said, That was taken off the table very quickly. There doesn't seem to be further talk about that. Is that right?
There doesn't seem to be further talk about that. I do know that there was some sort of a suggestion about that from, I think, officials in the health ministry. But that's certainly not an option right now. And the Prime Minister alluded to the fact that even if he does implement a full lockdown, it doesn't come with a possibility of rations being implemented, that there will be ways somehow to get food and emergency supplies in a reasonable way. By the way, what's interesting about the new restrictions and the new stringencies that have been put in place is that the right to protest has not been removed. In other words, that has specifically been preserved. If you want to go to a protest outside of your house beyond the 100-meter boundary, you're actually legally entitled to do that, as long as you maintain social distancing when you're there. So you arrive there in your car as required, and you maintain your 2-meter distance from other people who might be at the protest. That particular right has been preserved. In terms of going to supermarkets, there are special rules now in place about how to behave in supermarkets, a limit as to the number of people who are allowed into the supermarket, special rules about how you're supposed to queue up at the checkouts, special 2-meter lines that have got to be drawn on the floor to show people where they ought to be standing to keep social distancing, and a limit as to the number of people who can actually be queuing up. I think there's a limit of 4 people who are allowed to be queuing up at any till. So special rules have been put in place in order to try to somehow preserve the ability to go to supermarkets. And also, you're officially allowed to go along and assist people who cannot help themselves. So if there are people, older people or people who are invalids who are unable to take care of themselves, that other people are officially entitled to go along and help them, to give them the emergency supplies that they need. So those are things that have been considered and thought about and specifically included in the things that you're allowed to do under the current circumstances.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what is going on politically? We've only got 3 minutes, but what is happening politically?
Well, we were told yesterday, I mean, every time that Prime Minister Netanyahu stands up on national TV to make statements about what's happening with the latest coronavirus, he always makes a point of ending his talk to the nation with a call to create a unity government. Always. That's his standard kind of mantra that he uses. And we do understand that yesterday there were some more serious calls made between Prime Minister Netanyahu and the head of the Kahol Lavan faction, Benny Gantz. They did speak last night. Apparently their negotiating teams have been instructed to meet today in order to be a little bit more serious. There was a rumor that the Justice Ministry issue had been resolved and that a Kahol Lavan member of Knesset would be the new Minister of Justice. That was quickly denied by all the parties. But, I mean, it seems to be down at that sort of level. What I understand is that the general basic understanding is that if they do indeed succeed in forming a unity government, which of course is needed more now than ever before, that Prime Minister Netanyahu would be the Prime Minister for the first 12 months of the National Unity Government, followed thereafter by 2 years of a Kahol Lavan Prime Minister, and then the fourth year would be back with Likud again to be the leader of the Likud, whoever that happens to be, at that time, whether it be Prime Minister Netanyahu or somebody else. So that seems to have been kind of generally agreed. Of course, with the whole saga of the Speaker of the Knesset, Yuli Edelstein was ordered by the court to hold a vote. He decided that he didn't want to do that in the end, and he rather resigned his position as Speaker of the Knesset. He was then instructed by the Attorney General that even though he's resigned his position, he is obliged to call a vote as ordered by the Supreme Court and the High Court of Justice. So it seems as if though there will be a vote sometime today for a new Speaker of Knesset. In the absence of a Speaker, the longest serving member of Knesset automatically becomes the caretaker Speaker. In our case, that is Amir Peretz. He has served in the Knesset since 1988 and is the longest serving member. And so he will take over the position of speaker in the event that there is no speaker. But unfortunately, the whole machine of government is still really not working properly. We have no government. Many of the committees that are required to keep things going are not working at the moment. So we will see today whether a new speaker of the Knesset is indeed elected. How that's going to be done, I'm not sure. And of course, we will keep tracking what's going on with the coronavirus. Prime Minister Netanyahu is saying that the numbers are doubling every 3 days. And until such time as that situation changes, he certainly can't think about easing any of the restrictions.
Very, very scary indeed. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Rappas, this is where we love and leave you. We'll catch you on Monday morning at the same time. Just be safe, be healthy, stay within 100 meters of your place as everybody now has to do, and have a Shabbat Shalom.